Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right, Chuck and Julie, and you guessed it, is Party Friday.
Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Thank you to Leo
Truth
and Sam.
Straight up.
It's
okay. Truth Straight Up, and brought to you as always by our great friends at Colorado Citizen Press, Julie.
That's right, ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice. They have a lot of stuff going on there today about the Channel 9 debacle, which we're going to be getting into, but also some politics. If you live in Denver, now you have to wear a mask, even when you're sleeping. It's not quite that bad, but almost that bad. I have to say, Mandy Connell, I agree with her from K-House. She was saying, okay, I won't be going into Denver until this mask nonsense is over. A lot to talk about today. We're going to be focusing a lot, though, on the 9 News situation, the 9 News hired gun, the charges going on there, the investigation there. And
the transfer from the mommy station. People wondered why we call it the mommy station. That was a kind of an insider one where at one time, KNUS dominated KUSA dominated television ratings, and they did it by having a softer approach, appeal to females, and so it was viewed when they're talking about mommy stations and daddy stations, it was a mommy station. Now it's become the progressive murder station.
Yeah, and KNUS, Peter Boyle's over there at 710 KNUS has been doing a great job. I was on this morning. He had Randy. We're going to have Randy on a little bit later, talking about all of that, because no one else is really covering it. The other media organizations.
Well, I'll give credit to your former station, Fox 31. They had it as a front page news, while 4, 7, and of course 9, who is doing their own spinning and making himself a despicable and grotesque. Belonging to Channel 9 is now a disgrace, I think. They don't care what we think, but at least as far as I'm personally concerned.
You would think they would care what listeners thought, right? If we had our listeners, if you guys were all constantly telling us how awful we are, that we were wrong, that you were never going to watch us again, we might just listen, particularly if we were supposed to be theoretically an unbiased news station. We're trying to get Patrick Neville. I know he had a class today. And I think they're doing classes on Zoom. I was going to tell him he needs to get a little fake Patrick and have it sit there with a bobblehead so it can go that. So it looks like he's paying
Rev
attention.
Rev could teach him a trick.
Yeah, that's right. But that set off with the news. So the Denver District Attorney's Office has decided, and I guess this will actually be filed on Monday, to file second-degree murder charges against Matthew Doloff in the shooting death during the rally last weekend of Leo Keltner. This, to me, says a lot of things. Number one, it is clear that the Channel 9 producer was lying when he told police he maced him, then he shot him. That's clear from all of the photographic evidence we've seen, which is a lot, still pictures and videotapes, that he was not maced and then shot. In fact, it was just the opposite.
But well, once again, I'd like to say it's pepper spray, not
a pepper spray.
And the words that they always use against us is and we've got to watch out for those.
That's a good point.
They really do make a difference in this life.
But one of the things that the second degree murder, I have to say, and we'll talk a little bit more at the bottom of the hour with Randy Corbin about this, but I think first degree murder would have been tough. Their first degree murder involves an element of premeditation, and it doesn't have to be long premeditation. But I didn't see that here.
Difference between the three of them, and I'm
Why don't you explain this?
And I'm not a criminal attorney, but first degree murder, deliberation, intent, it usually takes some time. It may not be a lot of time, but usually some time. Kind of going, you go home, get a gun, that's clear. Go to your car and get a gun, that's clear. The manslaughter is reckless, where you should have, but you didn't know that the person would die and didn't expect him. That is knowingly for second degree murder, and knowingly. I think it's exactly correct. First degree, I don't think is appropriate. I don't think manslaughter is appropriate. I think I'll give kudos to the Denver DA for what I think is the exact appropriate one. Sometimes people get hung up on whether it's murder one or murder two. Murder two, you're going to jail for 16 to 45 years.
Right.
There's no death penalty anymore. So really, why not charge him for what is appropriate? If he spends 16 to 45 years in jail, that would be, I think, appropriate.
Well, although keep in mind, here's the thing, that in, number one, that's not necessarily a guarantee. Number two,
there is no guarantee to the jury. It's guaranteed, there's no guarantee.
But I mean, even if he gets sentenced, that's even say to 16 years, typically they serve about a third. I think they don't.
Well, yeah, for state ones, but nonetheless, I think it really disappointed Channel 9, KUSA. And now they can no longer kind of go, oh, this wasn't anything.
What I want to do is, and to the guys at BBS, I think Patrick's probably busy. So that's not, if we don't get him, we don't get him. He indicated that he had his class. We might be busy because I want to talk about it. And we can have folks can weigh in. You can call in 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008.
Or just pop up.
Pop up if you're on Zoom. I want to talk about what I thought that Channel 9 could not go any lower. When they did the phony interview with the producer's lawyer and they said, well, you know, he's really upset. This whole thing has been very upsetting to him. Yes. Without any mention that, oh, guess who else might be upset about it? The Keltner family. Hello. And then, though, they sunk even lower. They I don't know if you guys saw this, but it's on their website. You got to look for it now. They're hiding it. But they did an interview with Jeremiah Elliott. Jeremiah Elliott is the Black Guns Matter guy. And, you know, Thomas, if you're
the guy who is outside the fence threatening to rape people's wives, threatening anybody he possibly can, and watch the kid gloves, beloving kid gloves they give Jeremiah, and Jeremiah Johnson is called
Jeremiah Elliott.
Elliott, I'm sorry, Jeremiah Johnson, his
mountain man.
Jeremiah Elliott is called. Hey, how you doing, man? You know, how you doing, buddy? How you doing?
And we'll get the, and he
the channel and they bring in two hacks from other hack stations, and this is one of the hacks.
Pretending like it's from another Tegna station.
Yeah, right.
So they're like somehow unbiased. Yeah. Like there's not a lawyer sitting there ready to shove him over if he says the wrong thing. And yeah, and don't you for a second when you watch that interview think that Jeremiah, all of that had not been walked through. There's no way they're going to do an interview with him without knowing exactly what he's going to say. Well, and even then, it's outrageous.
And his answers, you know, I thought he was just a real meathead. He is not. He's a vicious, amoral jerk. But he's not a meathead. And
so
he knew when to answer and when not to answer.
Well, and that's because I want to walk through this and play this for you guys. So remember, because in the interview, he's going to come across as, hey, he's the victim. He was just there. And I'll get to some of his specific answers. But just so we can remember what he was like, if we could, Thomas, play the videotape. This is where Jeremiah Elliott, having just seen Keltner murdered in front of his eyes, bends down, picks up his stuff and flees within seconds and is walking away saying, we just lost another white supremacist in the effing dome. He is celebrating the murder.
When he got shot in the head.
So if Thomas, if you could play the celebrating video, this is the Black Guns Matter guy.
One less white fucking supremacist. Oh, fuck yeah. Right in the fucking dome.
So that is his reaction, right, when the guy was shot. Let's maybe go to from Don now to in Colorado Springs. Hey, Don, thank you for calling in. What do you make of all this?
It is just getting worse and worse. It's just like 9 News is going into the gutter more so than what they did in the 90s when Peter Boyles reminded you of the JonBenet Ramsey.
Yes, you're right.
You know, there's another sad irony. I'll bring this up, and this is not really known or talked about, but KNUS was once a sister station to 9 News.
I didn't know
that either. Well, you know, you have a point. I mean, a lot of the media organizations.
KOA was a sister station, and they agreed to combine, but it must have been quite a while ago.
But there are a lot of affiliations there. Not clear what the Denver Post
I'd be surprised if KNUS would, because they're such a small station. They only have a 5,000-watt one to affiliate
well,
with.
Well, you sell stations and all of that. I mean, but in the early 70s when it was KBTR, then it was.
To me, it's just disgusting that I could understand if they shut up and if they explained we can't cover it, but they're trying to spin it and they're trying to make you think that they're the victims. They keep putting out the lie that Doloff was just saving people's lives. He's a hero, this Jeremiah Elliott says. Well, you know what? Beth McCann says, no, there's enough evidence to prove that he's a murderer. And you know that Beth McCann did not make that decision lightly or happily, I think.
Well, Nine News is just basically trying to save their reputation, you know, and try to think, and they're going to think they're going to keep on their legacy that they built with Ed Sardell and Mike Landis.
Right. Well, they're sadly mistaken, Don. Thank you for the call.
Oh, wait, and what about the mask rule? What's going on in Denver?
Oh, so Denver says, guess what? They're now paying people to get tested. So the number of tests have skyrocketed in Denver and in Colorado. And coincidentally, so have the number of cases, even though who knows what they're really calling a case these days. So Mayor Hancock, now this is just days from the election, keep in mind, is saying now in Denver, you have to wear a mask if you're outside and it's not with somebody that you're in your immediate household. You have to wear a mask outside. And polis, and they're saying, oh, we're going to have to crack down if we're not careful. It's just such a scam. I mean, deaths aren't
well,
up.
If people are going to get themselves tested for crying out loud, the numbers are going to go up.
Exactly. But the media, once again, here, they're lying to you also.
They're panic porn, as Daniel Horowitz likes to mention it as such.
You're absolutely right. Hey, listen, Don, thank you. Hey, we got Patrick Neville on the
phone.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks,
appreciate you listening. We do have Patrick Neville on. Hey, Patrick, I know you're in class, so thank you for giving us a little bit of time here. Let me just jump right into it. Have you seen the coverage at Nine News has been on the murder case?
Yeah, it's crazy. it's unreal. I mean, they are literally profiting off of the stories that they're peddling of their own security guard that they contracted who murdered someone.
Yeah, they're celebrating their own murdering of people. Yeah, they're really revolting group. And it's amazing. Just another one of, you know, we've been getting the reports from Magellan and otherwise.
Voting for a second.
We don't have Patrick for very long. And the number of ballots coming in, and it's overwhelmingly Democrat, although maybe you have more recent information.
Yeah. So what's going on with that, do you think?
Well, it's a concerning trend. I mean, it's not the normal trend that we have, that we see in normal election cycles, for sure. Normal election cycles, we see the Republicans actually come out very strong early on. But things are different this time. Yeah. So this might be just a different trend because a lot of people are becoming more aware that there might be, ballot fraud out there. They are more in tune to that. So I think there are a lot of Republicans that are actually, instead, you know, where in past years they would have turned their ballot in early, they're actually hanging on to it for a little bit, making sure instead of dropping it in the mail, they're putting it in the drop box, or maybe even hanging on to it just because there's so much changing with the election as time goes on.
Right.
So I'm not reading too much into it, but if you were to just straight compare it to you know, all the election cycles I've looked at, the past three election cycles, it's not the normal trend.
What would you, let me ask, because I mean, that thought occurred to me that, you know, I'm not so sure what the Democrats are. I mean, it's clear people are cheating, right? Jenna Ellis, I mean, maybe some of these Democrats who are voting are the dead people that Jenna Griswold was trying to get to register. But I mean, it did occur to me, you know what, I'm going to make sure I put it in the Dropbox. I'm not going to mail it. You know, what would you recommend that people do if you have any recommendation?
Well, exactly that. If you're not going to actually go in person and vote in person, that's probably the best thing you can do. They actually have a pretty decent system that was rolled out last year. It's somewhat decent that where you can go and vote in person and actually get a receipt of your vote and how that went. That's probably your best case scenario. But if you don't want to do that, then you got your ballot mailed out to you. Then, you know, you actually go and turn that in person. I wouldn't even turn it into a Dropbox. I would turn it into the actual election site of whatever county you reside in. That's probably the safest way to do it. I wouldn't drop it in the mail. The ballot drop box are much more secure than the mail because they actually have 24 hours
surveillance,
video going on them at all times. So they're a little more secure.
And it doesn't pass through your friendly postman's fingers who can, as they have in some places, dump them.
Well, let me, Patrick, a final question, because I know, like I said, you're busy. Open-ended. Anything else that, you know, that's why I love having you on the show, because you keep us up to date and up to speed on stuff that we would not otherwise know about. Anything else out there that you want to make sure people know about?
Well, it's just that, you know, in Colorado specifically, this is a very disturbing trend that we're starting to see come out with Nine News and the security guard that they hired. And then you see all the stuff that's been, you know, dropped recently. About all these, you know, these actual organized groups out there that are saying they're going to openly kill people in the streets and whatnot. And so I think there's an organized effort out there that we actually should be very, very concerned about. And I hope the Justice Department is taking a look at all this.
They're not.
Because it's a very scary time. I mean, if you look at the tapes of this, that's really scary what happened to that poor, you know, what looked like Lee Keltner, what looked like very innocent exchange. The guy looked very simple to me that Dilloff was going for his concealed carry gun. He slapped him away and started backing off. And that gets him shot point blank in the face.
Well, as you know,
I don't know why this wasn't first degree murder. It's only second degree.
No, I don't think it was validly first degree murder. But as a practical matter, as a State Department, usually on a State Department, Justice works through its U.S. attorney. And where does the U.S. attorney Jason Dunn come from?
Brownstein.
So if you think the U.S. attorney's office,
Stanley Garnett explaining this was yeah. You know, Dolov was
if you think
there.
You've got a fair.
Well, let's compare it to what the narrative was going on before this happened too. I mean, Kyle Clark was out there tweeting, you know, making fun of talk radio and folks like that for criticizing people for, you know, being not going downtown and feeling unsafe for downtown. It turns out, well, this whole time, Nine News was hiring security guards for their reporters. It's absolutely insane. It's ridiculous, the double standard. And I hope people just turn off the station. And quite frankly, once I get some time in my hands, I'm going to start looking up some of their sponsors. And I think we need to turn off their sponsors as well, because that station is totally out of hand.
Yeah. I agree, Patrick. We're with you on that. So let us know. Hey, thank you for your time. Go back to school.
Have a good weekend.
Have a good weekend, too.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Patrick Nebo there. Mark is asking, what's going on with Randy's face mask lawsuit? Is there any hope we can stop the governor mayor? Yeah, we'll ask if we got him coming up. Denver DA's office is part of the problem. You know, Sandra, the one thing I'd say about that is in this case, they did make, I think, the right decision. And I suspect that's because the evidence is overwhelming. If Beth McCann could have wiggled out of this, she would. We're going to go back to play more of the interview and some of the things that this Jeremiah Elliott, the Black Guns Matter guy, said. One of the things he said repeatedly was that I was not agitating anyone. Now, we'll talk to Randy in a second about that. But he's like, I wasn't agitating anyone. He actually says, I was just in downtown Denver that day.
Just walking around.
Yeah, and the reporter says, well, what about your shirt? And he's like, well, it's just a shirt in my closet. We all have our Black Guns Matter shirts. Yeah, sure. It's ridiculous. But I want to play it. So we also have seen the viral video of him getting in people's faces and trying to provoke them, saying, Jessica, shoot me, mace me. But somebody did a great job and came up with him leading. Remember back in September when there was the attack on the Denver Police Department, when the Antifa people brought the shields and the umbrellas and they were throwing firecrackers. And
just remember, John Hickenlooper said that Antifa is not an organized group.
Right.
It's just not an organized group that can't have leaders. And this guy, therefore, since there's no leadership position, he couldn't assume it. And it's all a lie.
That's right. And that showed this videotape of Elliot. And Thomas, it says, this is the Elliot at DPD. This is Elliot leading the Antifa riots. If we could play that one.
Performed any security work at all for Nine News?
No, I've never done any security for Nine News.
Okay. And did you ever work with Matthew Dolloff in any security capacity, colleague, rival, anything like that?
I don't want to speak too much to that. These are questions you're going to be asking me in an ongoing homicide investigation, but I don't, you know, I've worked for many security companies in the past, and I don't want to say anything that might be.
Have you already had your interview with DPD detectives?
Yeah, I don't want to.
So that's him confronting the Denver Police Department. Oh, no, I don't even know any Antifa people. Yeah. I don't even know any Antifa
people.
What's
Antifa? I mean, that's kind of like the mafia. You know, when J. Edgar Hoover said mafia, what mafia?
And the reporter on Nine News, the reporter they brought in, didn't push back at all. He just let him say that. I want to play another thing, too, because this was the thing that got me. Nine News, this is the way I believe. But for Nine News's actions, Lee Keltner would be alive today. Number one, they hired the security guard who killed him and brought him to that scene without properly
vetting
him.
They hired a security guard that had no the license requirements, certainly didn't have the right to carry the gun as a security guard, and was not a security guard. And they didn't know it
They sure as hell should have known it.
Exactly. So you got that. Number two, you have the fact that unlike the other media people there, they were specifically, intentionally in plain clothes. I believe that's because they planned to shadow the black guys, right. The Black Guns Matter guy right. all day. And right. I'll get to that in a second. But so if you're Lee Keltner, you have no idea who these people are. Even the Denver Post reporter thought that Doloff was initially an Antifa person.
Well, he is an Antifa person. Well,
yeah, exactly. And then you see, and you'll notice that Lee did not go after the Nine News reporter or the Denver Post photographer, right? So they hire the killer. They are dressed intentionally, not identifying themselves as media. And then I believe their presence was definitely egging the Black Guns Matter guy on. If they had left, if they had not been shadowing him, if they had not been using their cameras to egg him on as he was trying to provoke the Patriots into violence, then Black Guns Matter guy would have left. There would have never been any kind of confrontation. Now, can you charge Nine News with murder? No. But I think they have shown a complete and appalling and despicable lack of any kind of morals there that would indicate, you know what, hey, we feel that maybe there's some things we could and should have done differently and we would have had a different outcome. But let's play. This is clip number one, Thomas. This is the first question out of the reporter's mouth to the Black Guns Matter guy.
So, the thug.
It's clip number one, victim, Thomas, please. And this takes a second to play.
Let me ask you a basic question to begin with here. How are you doing, man?
I've been getting a lot of threats from far right-leaning groups since this event occurred. People are trying to identify where I live. They're trying to identify past employers. People are posting things on Twitter calling me a terrorist and a leader of Antifa and BLM. People are shouting things at me in public. So, you know, it's pretty tiring times.
Pretty trying times for him. Right. Now, let's talk about Lee Keltner's family. They're planning a funeral right now. You know what? It's pretty trying times for them. And the reporter asks nothing about that, pushes nothing back about
well,
that.
Well, I love the fact that Channel 9 was claiming that their quote-unquote journalist was getting all death threats when no one knew who he was, and they hid it. Well, how do you get the death threats? He just put up a smoke signal? They're lying to you.
Right.
And it's a crooked, degenerative station. I mean, it's just, and they don't care what you think. They don't care what I think. And as far as I'm concerned, if you're employed by Channel 9, I feel sorry for you.
Oh, well, and now, Sandra, is this on Peter Boyle's show this morning? A woman said she saw the three, Black Guns Matter, Doloff, and the Nine News producer meeting prior to the shooting. You know, Tig Tegan has said that exact same thing. Tig Tegan has said that the Nine News crew met with the Black Guns Matter guy, they huddled, he said. And then the Black Guns Matter guy proceeds to go confront Lee Keltner and that group with the Nine News camera, well, the cell phone. The crew is following him. Again, I suspect that what they were deliberately following him. Now, nothing wrong with that, you would think. But as a reporter and as a journalist, it is ethically, I don't know, the right ethical thing to do when you realize that your camera presence is creating a situation, not just covering it, but creating a situation, the ethical thing to do is to back down and to leave, because right. that's not your role. Here, they knew they were creating it. I think they were looking for that money shot, and their producer, or their hired gun ended up killing somebody. I want to go to something else, too, another clip, because this gets into my conspiracy theory there. So the reporter goes on, and again, I use the term loosely. The reporter goes on to start talking to the Black Guns Matter guy, Jeremiah Elliott, about that. He asks him that. There's no follow-up. He goes, so what, did you have any contact with them? And let's listen to him evade that question. So Thomas, if you could, clip two avoids the question.
Did you talk to anybody from Nine News out there that day?
I don't want to talk too much about what occurred earlier in that day, just in terms of what I was doing earlier in that day. I want to talk about the events that occurred.
Yeah, you know, no, absolutely.
I'm glad you absolutely understand.
Yeah, I'm glad you understand. Well, yeah, I absolutely understand, because that could get us in trouble. That could get us a lawsuit here. It's just incredible.
Give Jeremiah credit for being well coached by an attorney.
That's and then exactly here's so number one, he avoids a question. I mean, he's answered all his other questions, right? Including the fact, why was he dressed the way he was? Because he just had that shirt in his closet. If he's just roaming around the streets of Denver and coincidentally comes up, I mean, there was no pushback on that. He didn't say, well, wait a minute, what about this videotape with you confronting all these people? Didn't push back about that. And now we're going to play the final one too, where again, and listen to the difference. He asks him two questions. One he answers directly, so he's got no problem with that. And the other, once again, extremely evasive. And Thomas, this would be clip three, the Doloff question.
Performed any security work at all for Nine News?
No, I've never done any security for Nine News.
Okay. And did you ever work with Matthew Doloff in any security capacity, colleague, rival, anything like that?
I don't want to speak too much to that. These are questions you're going to be asking me in a ongoing homicide investigation, but I don't, you know, I've worked for many security companies in the past, and I don't want to say anything that might be.
Have you already had your interview with DPD detectives?
Yeah, I don't want to.
Okay, don't worry.
So let's look at that. So have you ever done any security work with Nine News? No, I haven't.
Right.
Straightforward answer.
Yes.
Do you know Matthew Doloff? Oh, I don't want to get into that.
You know.
Here's a guy, remember, who was screaming and trying to attack the Denver Police Department, racist police, right? All of a sudden, he's super duper concerned about interfering with a homicide investigation.
Yeah.
Oh, God, we wouldn't want to do that. So here's what I think. And you guys weigh in on this. If you tell me what you think, if you disagree, I think that we have been right. I think that Matthew Doloff, we know, has Occupy connections. And Occupy is the same thing as Antifa. I suspect that, and I'm going to go ahead and say this, I suspect that Matthew Doloff and Jeremiah Elliott did know each other, and that Matthew Doloff was, as I've said all along, there to be security, but he was the worst security guard in the history of security guards. And also to make the connection, to make that introduction to the Nine News crew and Jeremiah Elliott, who then proceeds to spend the entire afternoon harassing patriots, trying to stir up stir up that money shot. They don't get it. Everyone's going home. They're like, what are we going to do now?
It's clear that they hire the security guard to give the Antifa bona fides to the quote-unquote journalist of Channel 9 and the producer, so people wouldn't harass him. He's a recognized figure at Antifa, so if he's with them, you know, he must be okay, because as Jeremiah says later, KNUS, Channel 9.
KUSA.
KUSA. I don't know why I keep them KUSA is their channel.
Right. At a certain point, it goes on in the interview. He says, this guy attacks our channel, our station.
Yeah.
And, I don't think that Jeremiah Elliott is affiliated with Channel 9, but just like the Denver Post reporter. Well, I don't think he doesn't work there.
No, he doesn't work there, but is he affiliated? How does he become our station? Affiliated in the sense that they know him, the hire people who know him. They depend upon him to get bad pictures of patriots. I don't think he was hired so that he could kill patriots. But then again, he in his 2012 Twitter said, you know, that's a great about a concealed carry. You don't take any, you just shoot people. And that'll be used at the trial, I assume.
Right.
And I don't know. It is what it is. Channel 9 is, I think an accessory to murder. Civilly or criminally, maybe not criminally, although I certainly, if this was a Rapid County, I think he just might do it. But to me,
there's nothing less than despicable about the way they're trying to portray themselves as the victims here without any acknowledgement that a man has died. The first question about the producer is, how's the producer doing? Oh, he's upset. He's emotionally upset. Seeing a guy killed was upsetting to him. It's like, seriously? I mean, you would actually say that and put that on the air, Channel 9? Then they go on and they ask this guy, you know, how are you doing, man? And it's like, he's the one who instigated the whole thing. Who cares how he's doing?
You rape anybody lately pursuant to your threats?
Exactly. And the other thing that he's saying, and they're allowing him to say, that is a total falsehood, a total lie, is that all the violence, all the threats are coming from the right wing. Let's see, how many people have been injured or hurt by the patriots? None, zero. Right? How many people have been punched? Me, have been threatened, have been hurt, Ron McLaughlin, have been killed by the Antifa people or Channel 9? I mean, it's ridiculous for them to just keep, you know, you see it, the Democrats, you know, like they once again asked Donald Trump, do you denounce white supremacy? It's like, give me a break. He's like, yes, I do, once again. And she said, why do you hesitate to say that? It's like, they just push that narrative, and Nine News is letting themselves be the main messenger here, ignoring the fact that a man died. A man was simply attending a rally. Somebody's getting in his face. He doesn't back down. The video is clear. Keltner is having this confrontation with the Black Guns Matter guy. The Nine News crew does something. We still don't know what, if anything. Well, something, whether it makes sense to anybody other than Keltner, we don't know. Does something to draw his attention. He goes over there. He reaches around the one camera. So he's talking about their camera. The next shot we see,
which is really just a cell phone.
Right. Yeah, it's a cell phone. Yeah, they keep calling it a camera. That's a good point. It's not a camera. It's a cell phone, as everybody else there had their cell phone out too. So why did he key on this particular cell phone? In the meantime, then, Doloff, you can see in the pictures, Doloff, and this is, I think, why it's second degree murder. Doloff has his hand at his waist. His hand is on his gun. Lee Keltner's hand is still down at his side. The mace can is down at his side. The
pepper spray can.
Pepper spray can. The pepper spray can is down to his side. The next thing you see, the gun is fired. And granted, it happened fast, but the shell casing, is that the right word? The shell casing is being ejected, and the mace or the pepper spray has not yet reached him. So it's clear that Doloff was pulling his gun, intending to shoot before Keltner did anything. And I would also add to this, they've been spending, you know, 5 minutes or so watching Keltner being totally provoked. Right. And he had not pulled out his pepper spray. Right. So they had no reason to think he was going to pull it out then. I'm also suspicious about this 12 minutes that disappear from the producer's cell phone.
Yeah,
how's bull. That happen?
Bull. It's same as the Denver Post left out key photographs. And they got caught at leaving out those key photographs. So they looked so bad they had to produce them. But they clearly went in and said, no, these are too bad for our side. Our side, the Antifa side. So, you know, if I don't know. I don't know what happens to Channel 9. I don't certainly plan to ever utilize them.
Or... No, and Patrick is right. At a certain point, we should use their own tactics against them and go ahead and talk boycott. Well, let me ask you this, because we're going to have, I think, Randy Corbin is going to pop on here. He said maybe 42-ish. I mean, I don't know. You know, Wes Eimer had sent me a message and said he might be here on Zoom too. And sometimes, guys, we can't see everybody on Zoom. So Wes, if you're out there, feel free to unmute yourself and to put yourself up on the camera. Otherwise we'll get them again, because they were at this rally too. She okay. was hurt like me at the first one. Let me ask you a little bit, Chuck, because a part of me is outraged, but also confused about Nine's strategy. I don't understand what, you notice we don't hear Doloff, right? We don't hear Doloff.
No.
Although ironically, I forgot to mention this, if you're not outraged enough, Doloff has a GoFundMe page set up.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, his family does. Now you can't have, you know, Kyle Rittenhouse can't have a GoFundMe page.
No, no.
Other people, if you're a conservative, you can't have a GoFundMe right. page. But if you're being charged with second degree murder for killing a Trump supporter, well, then you can get a GoFundMe.
Well, you don't hear from the Channel 9 journalist either.
No.
Mr. Who?
Zachary Newman.
Zachary Newman. Where's Zachary Newman?
My guess is he's working from home.
Oh, he's working.
Working from home. His computer is broken though, so he can't
And he's been threatened, I'm sure. Other people are killed, and they just do their same old lies and mendacity.
Well, and then the other thing, Jeremiah Elliott also has a GoFundMe page because the Black Guns Matter guys, because people are threatening him. I mean, what a con! That guy's a con artist. But if you're Channel 9, so Chuck, you're a lawyer. If you're their civil attorney, right? Because you know there's going to be lawsuits. Why are they talking? Why are they? I mean, they clearly don't care that they're outraged.
Because
people.
Either they have an incompetent attorney, which I doubt. Or there's a fight between the PR people and the attorneys, because that 9-minute interview or whatever it is, 15 minutes with all of that can be used. Anything you say can and will be used against you, and it will be. So it does not do them any good. In fact, it hurts them civilly to constantly be having Stan Garnett, to have other people on, to have main witnesses on and all the way through. There's nothing to be gained. There's a lot to lose from a civil liability side. Now, that's not the same thing as the PR side, and they've got a whole business to worry about. And obviously, they've decided that they cannot go, they need to push back, lie, cheat, steal, do whatever else they can to win the PR world, and maybe it'll influence jurors that come on the panel. But it's clear that some of the things are dubious anyway from a civil liability side.
Well, and you know, and I want to say thank you to all of you guys and to the KNUS and you know, this show and the people who are listening, because it's clear that Channel 9 is not responding to the stories on Channel 7, right? Channel KUSA is not responding to stories in the other media and the Denver Post. They're responding to the pressure that people like you guys are putting on them, and they're feeling it, right? They're feeling it, and they're trying to say, okay, Randy says 3:45 or so. Okay, Randy's he's working.
He's a guy.
But I think that's what they're responding to. So they're hearing this and they're feeling the heat. And when you go through, again, let's go over the lies, the producer, because that surprises me, I have to say, that he just saw somebody shot and killed by his security guard. The guy he's standing next to just shot and killed somebody in the head. And yet his first question, there's no, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, nothing like that. The first thing he's saying is a lie. He says he maced him, he had to shoot. Well, that's not true.
Well, he maced him and saved my life.
Yeah. But then he said he maced him, then he shot him. Mm-hmm. I mean, so he deliberately misconstrues the order. And then he says, yeah, he saved my life, even though he clearly didn't say that to the cops, or his attorney, Dan Reck, would have said that. So you've got that going on. Then you show them, then they kind of get out there with Stan Garnett, because all the other attorneys in town are saying, well, you know, self-defense is kind of tricky. It just sort of depends. You have these pictures that clearly show that Keltner did not pepper spray first. Then you have this atrocious interview where they let this Jeremiah Elliott just lie through his teeth. I was just walking around downtown in the shirt that I just happened to yank out of my closet. Hey, I have no affiliation with any other Antifa people. I've never been to any other Antifa events. No, he's been to all of them that have been here, the violent ones that have been here. Then they let him weasel out of, you know, first he says, well, you know, he was going to kill him. He saved his life. The reporter at least says this, did you see it? And he's like, well, no, it was behind me. So actually I didn't see anything. And you can see that in the videotapes too. You can clearly tell he didn't see anything. And then he says, he evades the question, you know, did you have contact? What kind of contact did you have with 9 News? Oh, I don't want to talk about that. Can't talk about that because of a homicide investigation. Did you work for Channel 9? Nope, never worked for Channel 9. Do you know Matt Doloff? Oh, don't want to talk about that either.
That's tenuous grounds. So if you're a civil attorney, you've already mapped out where you need to go on the other side. Oh, okay. Yeah. There's a liability there. Oh yeah. That's great. Yeah. I'll need to sure to get into that line of questioning.
Well, now, and let me ask you this, Chuck, as an attorney, do you think some of this stuff we're talking about, because I've covered criminal cases where this is shocking, but frequently in criminal trials, they're not actually trying to get to the truth. They're just trying to win the other side. How much
of the trials are not to reveal the truth,
right?
They're an adversary process that is highly flawed, but it's been shown to be better than other processes. But people go, well, it'll come out in court. No, it often does not. In fact, often the truth is not even allowed to present it to the jury. It's suppressed, you know. So if you think you're going to be happy by the revelation of truth in a criminal trial or civil trial, for that matter, you're badly mistaken. Well, and they always say on the defense that the best defense is that closest to the truth. Notice it's not the truth.
Right, closest. And well, let me read some of the comments here. When the Black Guns Matter guy was taunting Lee, he was saying, use your mace. That's absolutely right, Sandra. He was saying, mace me, shoot me. And Keltner did not, in spite of, you know, complete provocation, he didn't do it. So why Doloff thought he had to kill him, I don't know. But back to what I was going to ask is, because I've covered some trials where it seems as if they would bring in certain evidence because it helps explain the whole picture, but then the judge will rule, nope, it doesn't pertain to this particularly. A quick story. I'm going to tell you a story. It's kind of funny, but it's I think demonstrative. So years ago, I was covering a murder case in Adams County, and the guy was arrested for murdering his wife. Well, the
policeman was murdered.
No, no.
Wasn't he a policeman?
No, no. This is a different,
different
story.
Adams
this
County
is a
murder,
different, different Adams County murder. So this was just a guy who had murdered his wife. And ironically, the guys, it was like two or three other wives had also died under suspicious mm-hmm. circumstances, mm-hmm. right? And so we're in there and somebody, one of the media people put that out because you would think that that would be pertinent. So the guy has three other wives who were murdered and now he's got a new wife who's been murdered. You'd think that that would have some bearing. And the judge ruled that it did not, didn't have anything to do with this case. And he
what he's saying, and I think he's correct, quite frankly, yes. under legal evidence rules that be so highly prejudicial
right.
that they may assume he did or convict him of this murder simply because.
But here's how serious the judge was about that. So he drags all the reporters. This is a crotchety old judge. He drags all the reporters into his chambers and says, "I don't want to see any of that in the media. I don't want to hear anything about all the other murdered wives." And I say, well, you know, Your Honor, we can publish that if we want. And I was like prior restraint. Mm-hmm. And I said, plus I'm not in control of the anchors. And he looks at me and he goes, "Ms. Hayden, if that shows up in your station," these are his exact words, "your ass is grass." Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I wasn't sure what that meant, but I was pretty sure it wasn't good. So story time aside, do you think any of the conversation that he would have had with Nine, that Nine was perhaps shadowing him, that did he know Doloff, did Jeremiah Elliott know Doloff, is that the kind of thing that would be, come in or maybe not come in?
Well, you know, it really, you're talking about a civil trial,
talking about in the criminal trial.
Well, it's not really relevant. I mean, whether it's let in, I don't think it's prejudicial either necessarily. So, you know, it could come in. I'm sure. Why does that show that he's a bad person or his motive or anything else? I just don't think it's one way that, so it could come in. It isn't so prejudicial, but you can see making our, I suppose if you think that would hurt you, if you were the defense attorney, make some motion saying that shouldn't be allowed in. I mean, there's, you know, you have to remember these trials, particularly these, the judges are highly political yeah. and you had all kinds of strange rulings for some of the, Russiagate trials where they said, no, you can't bring this up. You can't bring that defense. You can't use this defense. Their judges these days say, you know, won't allow you to do defenses sometimes. And so badly in Oregon, the defense attorney just turned their back, said, I'm not making an argument to the jury because you've destroyed any defense that we could possibly have. And of course you found them in contempt.
So you have no idea. That's a good point. You have no idea. Now, what's good if you're us, because frequently it depends on if somebody tries to get that entered, the arguments about it can be heard. They argue about that, so that could become public. So I think we may get some definitive answers during the criminal case about what was the conversation, what was the nature of the role between the Nine News people, Doloff. Hey, and Thomas, I see Randy's here in the waiting room. If we could let him in the waiting room so we can bring him up. Another thing too, though, in the civil case, that would almost certainly be pertinent, right?
Well, civil case against Channel 9, it sure as heck would be pertinent. Yeah. I mean, if determine their liability, I can't imagine that being excluded.
No. Hey, BBS guys, Thomas, if we could let Randy into the, he's what's he say? I'm streaming him. Oh, I'm admitting him. He's loading. I'm not sure what that means. Randy is getting loaded before he comes on our show. Thank you. He's on his
loaded.
Computer. Well, the civil trial.
Years away.
Well, I was going to say. I mean,
years
that'll be years away and we won't ever know. No. Well, I know that we won't ever know. We'll keep following it. The good news is, I think, with the second degree murder charge is it is going to be very hard for Nine News to just make this go away. It's going to be very hard.
Not too hard.
Well, it'll come
Denver
up.
Post isn't going to cover it because they know they're culpable.
Well, they'll cover it.
479 or not. Fox hopefully will keep on being the one honest station among a bunch of crooked local stations.
Well, Channel 4 is doing a good job too.
Well, they were for a while, but once it was exposed that Channel 7 had in fact hired him and he was armed at the time, everybody's going, well, did we ever hire him?
I'm sure that's what everybody's trying to do. And it is the kind of thing I think local media types don't like typically covering the other local media types.
No.
There's a certain amount of there, but for the grace of God. While we're waiting for, there's Randy.
That's so, Randy.
Kenny, hang on. Randy, we got you there. Wanted to talk to you just because you saw, you know, both the Nine News interview with this Black Guns Matter idiot and the idiot reporter. And also you saw his behavior that day.
Well, the idiot reporter was Dan Reck.
Well, no, the reporter was an idiot too. What your take on what Nine News is, how they're trying to spin this whole thing?
Well, they're flipping the victimization role around from the guy who's going to be put in the ground here sometime soon, whose family is mourning his loss, son, grandchildren, wife, mother, and trying to make themselves the victim. And they're magnifying the appearance of victimhood by spending tens of thousands of dollars to surround themselves with police security because of a phony claim that they have anything at all to worry about, that they're put at any risk from people on our side of this debate.
Right. Well, and that's what Jeremiah Elliott said. And I want to, so he's talking about all the threats he's getting and that he just happened to be wandering by that day in his Black Guns Matter t-shirt. Why don't you describe for folks what you saw him doing?
Oh yeah. I mean, I've got a picture of him leaning over the back fence on the south end of the Greek amphitheater where we were funneling people to come in and out. And while he was over there, he said things like, told two ladies on our side of the fence that they would be raped. He was trying to pick fights with folks. If anybody came over to talk to him, he'd poke his chest up and out and get up in their face and, you know, stick his nose up in the air and say things like, "I smell bitch," and you know, stuff like that. He referred to the black father of Joe Altman, the founder of FEC, and Casper Stockham as a white man's nigger or something along those lines.
House,
that's right, yeah. Just the most vile things that you can say to try and provoke people.
And that makes the Channel 9 reporter who they brought in to go, "How you doing, man? Are you doing, are you weathering this okay?"
And, yeah, and he's like, "It's been very difficult, very difficult on
that." Well, and then of course at the end he said, "Well, take care of yourself. Take care of yourself.
Well, and what about this? I don't know. We were talking about this earlier. I still am, and I think the interview leads credence to my suspicion about this, and that is that the Nine News, that Doloff was there to help introduce Nine News people to Antifa types, that Nine News was shadowing this guy. I noticed in the interview, he very definitely evaded the question when he was asked, what kind of contact did you have with Nine News earlier? He said, "I don't want to get into that." And then when he asked, "Did you know Matthew Doloff?" He said, "Hey, I don't want to interfere with the homicide investigation," like he cares. I mean, did you catch that? And what do you mean?
No, these guys are professionals, man. They know what message they wanted to get out. I don't know that he knew the questions in advance, but he certainly knew the questions he would deflect, which is it's a classic and common trick. If there's something that you definitely don't want to get into, you just say, "Well, there's an ongoing investigation. I could be the subject of a lawsuit." You know, I always tell my clients on advice of counsel, I'm going to, stay away from that. But I assume you guys both watched the interview that he did with that crazy woman on Twitter.
No.
The day before. Are you aware? Well, I'll send it to you so you can look at it.
Okay. Tell us about that. Yeah, I know. This story is developing on Twitter moment by moment. It's like a full-time job keeping track. Well, tell us about that.
Yeah. I wish I could remember her name offhand, but, an Antifa mom, a protest mom. Her handle is something like protest mom on Twitter.
Okay.
And she looks like a pack rat. You know, she's sitting in her house and there's just junk everywhere. And she brings him on and makes some really poor jokes. But she asked him very similar questions. It was kind of a rehearsal to the interview. He talked about the fact that he was going to have the TV interview the next day.
Wow.
So yeah, I'll make sure that you get that very shortly.
Randy, what's your analysis? And I've given my analysis. Let me say a couple words. love the expression.
Now.
this does not appear to be a process on Channel 9 driven by their civil liability lawyers. I'm sure they're part of it, but if you're just worrying about your liability, you have these people shut up. I mean, everything he said can and will be used against him. So there must be some tug between saying, "Hey, you know, we've got a whole station here. We got to protect our brand, et cetera. And, you know, your one lawsuit this is more important to us than that, because this is not the normal response for somebody who's about to get sued for tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah, it's such a great point, Chuck. If I was the corporate attorney for Nine News right now, I'd be telling the board, from the board of directors on down,
right,
there's a criminal investigation going on. We're trying to get to the bottom of the facts. And that is your statement if anybody asks you anything. Yeah. So they're trying to create a message. They're trying to spin the debate. They know they've got favorable support in the newspapers, the other television stations, and all of that.
Right.
And, you know, we're really at a different time in history than you and I have probably, I have ever seen anyway, and you guys probably agree, because nobody's playing by the same rules like they used to.
There are no rules anymore.
The media, because they know they have protection. And if they're successful in defeating Donald Trump, then they will have won this round, maybe for years to come.
Well, you know, and that hits, and Randy, you made that great point on Peter's show earlier today, that the eye on the prize, this more than anything exemplifies why it is so important that we all get out, that we all vote, and that Donald Trump wins, because, you know, what happened in this case, what's happening with the Hunter Biden case, what's happening with the swamp in general, if Donald Trump loses, all of this will get swept under the rug forever, really.
Yeah, you know, the timing, it's a perfect storm if we make it count. You know, that drop from Project Veritas and James O'Keefe from the crazy Democrat executive committee, you know, anarchist in Weld County, the timing couldn't be better. The problem is, of course, that our networks and our ability to share the message, as opposed to getting it on channels 4, 7, and 9, is so limited. And
I must admit, it's been galling me more and more every day. We were at a meeting and at it, a very nice person who I really like and respect and all that, but she was giving the Democratic line, and she was just sitting there, we've got to stop the extremes from both sides. You have to stop the hate from both sides. And you know, I asked, you know, I missed it. Where's the hate?
Where's our hate, right? Where's our hate?
And the nicest of people on the Republican side seem to be unable to work through what's really going on.
It's the most massive piece of this puzzle that we have to try and fit into this jumbled mess that we have right now. Not that our own people aren't good or well-intentioned, right, or doing the best they can based on what they understand. But right, the fact that they don't actually understand the Saul Alinsky world that we're living in right now, that the media has mastered.
Right.
They have in the dueling protests. I don't know how many times I've heard that. And there are no dueling protests. They're one, the peaceful people who just want to express their opinions in a public forum. The other wants to shut them down.
And attack them. And it takes physical action to try to shut them down.
It's like Rome being invaded by the barbarian herds. It's kind of clash between dueling groups in Rome.
And it is. It, like you pointed out, Randy, and the Nine News is going out of the way. They're the victims. They have to hire security guards. Jeremiah Allen has his own GoFundMe page, for God's sakes.
I'm sure he's getting a lot of money.
Yeah. Only like $200 I saw. Not a lot. But because he's receiving threats, the Nine News producer is receiving threats. It's like, no, they're not.
No, they're not.
No, they're not. Or maybe a threat. But and they're like, and it's coming from white right wing groups. It's just a lie.
And oh, Randy, you know, I've heard news reports on conservative stations where they'll refer to Black Lives Matter rallies. You know, we're cleaning up the Capitol damage after the Black Lives Matter rallies, and then refer to our Patriot muster as a protest in the same news report. And God forgive them, they don't know what they're saying. I don't think it's intentional in some places. Places like Channel 9 and others, we know it is. With regard to that fundraiser, I just double-checked, and Jackass Jeremiah has raised $400 of his $30,000 goal. Our dead Navy veteran has raised almost $30,000 of his $10,000 goal.
All right. So people know.
Very happy about
it.
At
least that's a good sign. Through all the BS, it's coming through. Randy, I want to thank you for coming on. You're a hero to all of us, and keep up the good work.
Tomorrow morning, 7:10
KNUS, 9 to noon. Michelle Malkin's been doing just knockout investigative work. I called her this morning the Julie Hayden of Michelle Malkin's because
thank you.
And so she'll join me in the first hour. We had Steve Bannon for the Arapahoe Tea Party by Zoom for about an hour. I'm going to try and cut up some sound with him on election fraud.
Wow.
I'm going to go through my ballot for everybody on all these ballot issues.
Yeah, we're going to do that Monday. Yeah,
I don't want to waste a ton of time on it. And then mostly just get back into this mess and the fallout. And hopefully this man's death can be turned into a great positive for the movement.
There may be a silver lining, but feel right. So much for their family and everyone else.
Randy, thank you. I know it's been a tough week for you, so thank you for your time. Hey, and we've got just a couple of minutes.
Well, let's get our good friend in the metropolitan city that has our huge fan club. Let's get to Kenny Bandemer.
Hey, Kenny, thank you for hanging on there. Good afternoon.
Julie, just a simple observation that I made. I pulled up on YouTube Channel 9's perspective of the situation and that shooting. And they have on their one from their camera shot, the agitator guy. It is dumbed down in volume, in sheer volume to, you know, remember how he was saying, don't touch me, man, don't touch me, man. And I've seen it from different perspectives and different shots.
Wow. But,
you know, the guy was loud. I mean, it looked like he was boisterous and forthcoming and in your face, chest bumping and all that stuff. And they dumbed his volume down to, don't touch me, man. Don't touch me, man.
Oh.
And
they brought the victim, I can't remember his name.
Lee Keltner.
They brought his volume way the heck up. I mean, go watch it. Go see it. It's on YouTube.
That's disgusting. That is just revolting.
Yeah, it is. It's just extremely disgusting. So, but hey, I appreciate you guys putting on Susan Luck from Lahana.
She's a great candidate.
County south of us, and last week, that's, you know, man, God's putting forward some people.
Yes.
I'm about to chew my fingernails off on this thing with Trump. I just put the word out, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And
We have to
the Lord's got this one way or the other. So.
All right,
Kenny, thank you. Hey, hang in there.
Good to talk to you.
That's right. And then, Sandra, Sandra's saying I was a bit chatty today. Sorry. We love chatty. This is talk radio.
Talk chat.
Chatty is good. Don't anybody ever apologize for being chatty. Real quick check before we go to Synergenix. You got about a minute.
Yeah, Synergenix is a wonderful program to get you back to feeling the way you want to feel energy, to feel vitality, to slim yourself down if you need to do that, or maybe you need to build up. Who knows?
That's my problem.
Yeah, that's Julie's problem. But they will do everything they can to get you in the best shape you've ever been in your life. And that's no exaggeration. Get you ready. We've got a season coming up of flu. We've got the COVID-19. You want to be in one of those ones who just kind of goes, I'm ready. I don't want to get it. I don't want to receive it. But if I got it, I think I'd do just fine. And so call Julie McCallan up. She's a wonderful person. Happy to talk to you. Free consultation. Doesn't cost you a cent. Just give her a call, 720-387-3681. You'll be glad you did. And tell them Chuck and Julie sent you.
We want to let everybody know. Thank you for listening. Thank you to our guests. Please check us out on YouTube. You can catch all of the other podcasts at chuckandjulie.com. Monday, we'll have our ballot picks as well. Thank you to the folks at BBS. And Chuck is off to the Boy Scouts meeting again, as usual, on Friday.
At the ballet
Club. And everyone have a great day. Happy Party Friday.
Party Friday.